Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two-minute player hating. Oh, my bad. I almost got caught up in it.
Get caught up in it. I mean, obviously, within FCC
regulation. Yeah, I almost forgot all about them.
Of course. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy. First hour of the show is always brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Roddy Nabalzi joins us on Fridays at 11:40 from UGASports.com to preview the upcoming Georgia football game. He always picks his walk-up music on theme with the game, and I think that one makes sense. Roddy, how are you?
Doing fine, guys, doing fine. We had three choices today. We had All Eyes on Me. We had two of America's Most Wanted because I was thinking about
good.
You know, Juan Gaston and maybe Ernest Green if they're playing. Maybe not America's Most Wanted, but definitely Georgia's Most Wanted. And then I thought about a little Nuck If You Buck. Is this team mean enough? You know, does this team have any Odell Thurmans or Alec Ogletrees or Corey Moores? We've got somebody nasty who's willing to go to Tennessee and just lay the smackdown. You know, you got a bunch of nice guys on this team. They are connected. They are, well, you know, they love each other and a bunch of nice guys. But where's the jerk? You know, where's the enforcer on this team? So
I think
we had three choices and we went with the Gunnar Stockton one, All Eyes on Me.
Right. But I think the fact that you didn't go with the third one is telling though too, because you don't know, right? Yeah. Like that's,
I don't know. No clue.
You have to know if a team has that in them to play a song like that. And maybe later in the year you will, if they show you that they do. But to me that kind of sums up what this is. Like all eyes are on this game because we're going to learn a bunch about who this team actually is and who's tough and who's ready and all that kind of stuff. Let's start with offensive line health. I know that's a huge question mark for Georgia. Who do you expect to be out there tomorrow?
At this point, I expect Ernest Green to be out there. The Juan Gaston thing was it kind of slipped out yesterday from Andrew Smart of all people. You know, he put
what Andrew done?
What Kirby's son?
Andrew's in his, going to be in his room. Now, I'm assuming that is his account. So a lot of people have told me that's actually his social media account. I could be wrong. But Pete Nakos and the guys at On3 have actually reported that Juan Gaston is practiced this week and is supposed to play. The only one I was felt very confident on was Ernest Green. But if you got Ernest Green and Juan Gaston back, now maybe remember, they'll be back, but they'll be coming off injury.
Right.
So are they 100%? But I still feel better with the two of them out there than I do definitely – Jazeer Jackson or Michael Weenie or anybody else out there. So if you can get those guys back, then now maybe you can get some pass protection for Gunnar Stockton that we can actually see him throw it further than 15 yards.
Yeah, I think that was going to be my next question, Rod, is like, I'm not saying it's all on him, but how important is that aspect of the game for him to throw the ball? Because he did throw it 34 times. I wanted to get your thoughts on that last week against Austin Peay, but what the value of him being able to put the ball downfield?
See, I didn't worry about it last week. A lot of people got bent out of shape about him throwing so much and throwing it so short.
Right.
I was watching the cornerbacks play 14 yards off the ball.
Okay.
And I don't care what I've got called down the field. If I've got Colby Young with a cornerback playing 12, 14 yards off, I'm throwing to Colby Young. I don't care what we called. I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep doing that until you stop. So they had two screens that picked up 30 yards in back-to-back plays. I'm like, okay, that's fine. But what I want to see is, I mean, teams are going to crowd the box to take away the run. You've got to back them out of there. You've got safeties playing, you know, right up there side by side with linebackers now. And that's just that's tough road to hoe for Nate Frazier and Cash Jones and guys like that. So make them play honest. Make them beat you honestly. Don't go one-dimensional. That's Kirby Smart's favorite game plan is to make a team one-dimensional. The last thing you need to do is become one-dimensional. So spread them out and – give me Colby Young and Noah Thomas and Dylan Bell. You give them some of those deep routes. Get it to Zachariah Branch in the open field. Don't let him have to wait through. If you can get him one-on-one. So, of course, the tight ends didn't catch anything last week. That's a fluke in the –
what the hell, Rod?
I know you're going to bring it up, so I wanted to get to it first. But last year, the tight ends absolutely pillaged Tennessee. You know, they had 10 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. So it can be done. I'm just saying that I would like to see them open it up a little bit more. Not just because that's what everybody wants to see. I know it can be done, but I just think it's vital to the game plan to make to open up the running game. Kirby Smart last week before the Austin Peay game said, hey, they're going to crowd the line. They're going to take chances, i.e. bring extra guys. And we have to throw the ball to open up the run. And that's what they tried doing. And they did. They ran it fine, but I would like to see them pass protection.
As far as that run game goes, how many different running backs do you think are going to get carries tomorrow? Because we've seen some of the young guys out there looking pretty good. Obviously, Nate Frazier. Like, how do you think the carries will be distributed tomorrow?
You'll get four guys because you're definitely going to start with Nate Frazier. Cash Jones will be in it on third down. But Dwight Phillips, you know, Peanut, he's too fast not to play.
Yeah,
and Chauncey Bowens is a guy to get you those tough yards. Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people were upset about the goal line debacle last week. And they're like, why didn't you just try running it three times? Well, you did. You didn't. You know, there's only so much time on the clock. And if you run it and don't get in, then the time expires. So you had to throw it twice. But I going back and watching the tape, if Chauncey doesn't slip, he gets into the end zone. So that's a guy who rushed for a couple touchdowns last week. He's just he's proven himself. And all three of those guys came in the same class. And usually when you sign three running backs, you're like, well, one or two of them should be good, but there's no way all three of them are stars. But all three of them are pretty dang good. And, of course, you have to have Cash Jones up there. They do miss pass pro blocks. Cash Jones does not. So if it's going to be a third down and you know you're going to have to protect your quarterback and you also want to dump to the running back, Cash Jones is your third down guy.
What about that? The guy who I still have a whole lot of hope for, because I think he's a special player, Nate Frazier, had a fumble last week. Do you anticipate, because we were just talking about the running backs, Nate maybe getting the bulk of the carries, or is it just you still think it'd be, you know, flow of the game?
Yeah, I think, well, I still think he'll get the bulk, you know, maybe 40, 50%.
Okay.
He was not happy last week. And sometimes, you know, perfect ball placement or helmet placement on a ball can knock it out. I don't care who you are. But you can't say that they're fumbles.
Right.
And he's got the issue. He knows about it. Even in, later in the half, or excuse me, later in the game, he's running into the boundary on the inside arm. I mean, he's been taught to put it on the outside arm since he was 2 years old. So he makes mistakes, but he's still the best of the batch. So I expect him to get the bulk of the carries.
Roddy Nabalsi joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, UGASports.com, getting ready for Georgia and Tennessee tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon. I mean, we've spent a lot of time on the offense. Understandably, there's a lot of questions. The reason Georgia has dominated this series over the last decade is because of what they've been able to do defensively, especially since Heupel's been the coach there. Can this defense stifle this Tennessee offense the way that they have the last?
They can. The question is, will they? And I'm not trying to duck it. It's just I don't know. Going up against Marshall and Austin Peay, Marshall, you know, 70 new players. Austin Peay is not exactly a powerhouse. Georgia's defense did what was supposed to. Gave up 13 points in two games. Mm-hmm. Can they do that against Aguilar, who throws it all over the place? When you think about it, you really don't have anybody who's gone out and claimed that second safety spot. Yeah, K.J. Bolden. And, you know, you've got a little bit of rotation to the star spot. You know, we'll be Janelle Aguero. You know, who's going to take over that star spot? Because in this particular scheme, your star, there's more pressure on the star and that second safety than just about any other scheme you will face.
Right.
He spreads them out wide and the threat. And when Georgia's had success against that, look at, you know, they had Javon Bullard playing star, you know, who's starting in the NFL. You had a bunch of guys playing safety who were starting in the NFL. I don't know that you have anybody besides K.J. Bolden at that star safety spot who's, you know, that bell cow who you can hang your defense around. So to answer your question, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. What about, you know, we mentioned this all week. Do you think, Karad, this is Coach Heupel's best time or best chance to beat Georgia since he's been there?
Yeah, I mean, now granted, they don't have David Sanders, the true freshman, to play yet, and they're missing two corners. Mm-hmm. So they're a beat-up ball team as well. But somebody asked me, like, well, Georgia's beat them all the time, and until they beat them, I'm gonna take Georgia. I'm like, that has no bearing on this game whatsoever.
Right.
If it does, it's an advantage to Tennessee. You know, it's like if you're betting, flipping heads or tails, and there's been nine tails in a row, people say, well, bet tails again. I'm like, it has no bearing. It's still 50-50, and chances are it's hard to have a streak this long. So, but having the Nealon is going to be hyped. Those fans are never going to quit. If you get up 35-0 on them, they're still going to be in there screaming their heads off because they want this so badly. I'm not going to say that Georgia is happy, you know, or just expects to win because, again, it's all new players. But that fan base and those players know how long it's been,
right,
and they want to deliver. And Heupel knows that, look, this is his stalking horse. This is the team he's been chasing. This is the one – this is his Moby Dick. So he's got to bring this one to heel. And I think that, to your point, this is probably one of his best chances. This is not the Georgia 22-21 teams. This is 25, you know, so it's this is probably his best shot.
We didn't ask you the first couple of weeks because we kind of knew what you would say as far as the prediction goes, but what do you think? Like, how do you think it plays out tomorrow afternoon?
I've been predicting 20-17 Georgia, and even that, my gut reaction, if you put a gun to my head, I don't know that Georgia comes out of this game. I haven't seen enough from Georgia to say that they win it. I've seen some really good stuff from Tennessee, so I'm just, again, Tennessee hadn't played anybody. Syracuse isn't great. They lost a lot of players. East Tennessee State, they're not good. So, but Georgia played a bunch of a couple cupcakes and didn't do well. Mm-hmm. So trend wise, I like Tennessee. But then when I look at Kirby and the way he schemes this defense, and I know Georgia's defense will be good. I know that the way he schemes Heupel's offense, Georgia's defense will be strong. You have an advantage in the kicking game. Give me a field goal win on the road, 2017.
All right, Rowdy. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you, my boy. Man.
Thanks, guys.
Rowdy Nabalsi there, UGASports.com, predicting a close one. I mean, pretty kind of the general vicinity of what everyone said. I think I said 2013 earlier in the week. I'm probably going to stick with that. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 24-17, something like that.
23-17.
Yeah, but yeah, like a, you know, scoring, low scoring, relatively close. You know, he's right, too. Like, except for it's a little bit different just because, like, the only way you can sort of lean on saying, I think Georgia can do this, that, or the other is because you've seen them do it in the past.
Right.
You haven't seen them do it this year.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But that also is, that's what it is, though.
But, like, I mean, that goes back to what we talked about before the season. I was like, how much of the benefit of the doubt are we giving Georgia because of Kirby?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean,
and
same thing.
All of the benefit of the doubt.
Yes. Yeah. which he's earned.
Exactly.
You know, so, but I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a fun game. It's going to be, as a Georgia fan, you're going to be,
it's going to be tense.
It's going to exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be a stressful 3
hours. Yes, it is. It really, really is.
I think it is.
I think it is, you know, and considering, you know, but again, because we don't know this team. Mm-hmm. Like, if we knew, like, if this is last year's team, even though last year was stressing too, but, like, it's just where we are at Georgia, we just don't have that dominant depth that we used to.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is we don't have that experience because all these guys are young as hell. Mm-hmm. You know, but before they got great to where they are now, like, a lot of those kids that were on that first national championship team were young players too,
right,
that we didn't know about.
You didn't know yet.
And
exactly.
Then, yeah, I mean, they processed them to be in there. And that could be that.
That could be this. Because here's the reality of it. Like, the spectrum of outcomes in Kirby's tenure, and especially if you zero into the last, like, 5 years, like, the ceiling is undefeated national champion.
Yes.
The floor is went to the SEC championship game, right?
Yes.
So, like, it's a pretty narrow spectrum.
Yes.
Even a bad year is a good year, you know? Like, last year was, quote, disappointing. They won the SEC championship game.
Right.
So I think tomorrow we're going to get a good idea of where they fall inside of that spectrum, hopefully inside of that spectrum. There hadn't been a Kirby team that is less than that in a while. There hadn't been a Kirby team that doesn't make the SEC championship game in a while. It's going to happen someday.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's this year,
right,
2 years from now, whatever. Like, the SEC is just so loaded now, and college football is just so finicky now. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to build and be consistent and all of that. Like, at some point, there's going to be a year where, you know, I don't know, you go 9-3.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't know if that's this year
good
or not.
Yeah.
It's all right. That's,
yeah, it's not
that's not the right standard and all of that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, the other thing about that, like, that run of success where the worst was still winning the SEC championship, or I guess losing the SEC championship 2 years ago to Alabama, but still that team went 13-1, right? is this game kind of tended to give you a pretty good example or indicator of where Georgia was compared to everybody else.
Yeah.
Because last year, Tennessee went to the playoff. Mm-hmm. And Georgia didn't allow them to score in the second half. Mm-hmm. So that sort of showed you, yeah, Tennessee's really good. Georgia's still up here. The second national championship team held them to 13 points.
Beat the hell out of them.
They were the number one team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Came in.
Beat
and
the
Georgia,
hell out of them.
They scored 50 on Alabama that year.
Yeah.
They scored 45 on LSU that year.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia held them to 13 points.
And beat the hell out of them.
When they were the number one team in the country.
Yes.
So this game has served as a kind of like a litmus test for not only where Georgia is against Tennessee, but also where they are in comparison to that like kind of second tier in college football. Are they still above that?
I don't know.
Are they a part of the second tier?
Bring it.
I don't know.
We're going to find out. Hey, don't forget you can.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Always listen to Sports Radio 929 Game on Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. It's free 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 7 days a week, Andy.
That's every day.
Every day.
And it's free.
No money.
I mean, you're welcome. You're welcome. We'll come back and get to it.
Oh, hell. All right, well, that read won't be good for no more.
You're double welcome now. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. We'll get to as many of the big games this weekend as we possibly can. Back into some college football at 12:20 as well. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.